Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Three Man Booth Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter McGoy, once again joined by my partner in crime and the hardest working man in all of podcasting, Mr. Adam Howell. Adam, how are you doing today, sir?
Oh, just living the quarantine life. How are you doing, HD?
Living that same dream, sir. Living that same dream.
It's great.
As everyone knows, and we've alluded to just now, there's not much wrestling going on. I think one of the big things happened since we last talked was we had long speculated it, but it actually happened. Brody Lee, right person. Was revealed to be the Exalted One. I myself appreciated the fuck out of this because I love the guy.
It's been good so far. The past 2 weeks, it's been great. I love the Vince McMahon gimmick that he's doing on the side. So with the no sneeze, I don't know if you watched last night.
Oh my god, yes! Eating the snake and then Alex Reynolds sneezes and he throws him out of the room.
Vince McMahon, 100%.
Yeah.
You read horror stories about Vince. You know, that is a true thing. He did about the sneezing and right. The eating before he did. So that's a real thing, folks. It's hilarious. Throw a little shade. Who cares?
Whatever. It's going to pop the marks like me. So Keep on doing it because it'll pop me every single time. And then we had the unveiling to close the show of what looks like it appeared to be the broken Matt Hardy. And, you know, Adam, you're during this run of the broken and woken Matt Hardy, you were more of a fan of TNA and Impact than I was.
Yeah.
So I'll let you chime in here. Probably more experience on that than I do.
Yeah, broken Matt Hardy's a thing that, you know, some people hate it. Mostly everybody loves it because, all right, Matt Hardy, I give the credit, is a creative genius. And the fact that I say TNA was dying in 2015, would you say it wasn't? I mean, it was pretty bad back then, right? You heard the rumors.
It was bad. Yes, indeed. Yes.
It was a dumpster fire. So Matt Hardy's like, hey, they're giving me free reign. I'm going to make a ridiculous gimmick. But for some reason, it caught on, and here we are almost 5 years later, and it's still kicking. There's been different variations of it. You know, he did Brother Nero tag team with Jeff, and then he did a similar thing in WWE with Bray Wyatt. What was he called? What was he called in WWE? Wasn't Broken Matt Hardy, was it?
No.
Damn it. What was he called? It was similar to the Broken gimmick, but Vince wouldn't let go of the reins as much as TNA did with it. And this is his best stuff. If he knows it's silly, that's the point. It's dumb, but that's okay. We're allowed to have fun and poke fun. That's the whole point of it. But it's made him a lot of money, you know? And he had some of his best matches with it, too, in Ring of Honor and in TNA even, you know? So Vanguard 1's back, and he did the piano and the delete. If you don't know what it is, I recommend going back to watch Final Deletion from TNA, and that just gives you the whole backstory of Broken Matt Hardy and his feud with Jeff Hardy, how it all got started. It is the worst match in wrestling history, probably, but it's also a 5-star Meltzer classic all in the same thing. That's all I can say about it. You got to see it to see what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it's, would you call it goofy? It's goofy. It's dumb, but it makes him a lot of money. You know? So
right. Yeah, so in WWE, they called him he was Woken.
Woken. Well, duh, because he just can't use his own thing. You know, God forbid.
Right, of course not.
But, I mean, he did a thing with the Gauntlet for Gold, where he traveled to, he teleported to different countries and companies and won different belts with Jeff in Mexico and Ring of Honor. There's a lot of really good vignettes of Broken Matt Hardy from Impact days. And even his YouTube show, Free the Delete, is really good and highly recommend. If you want to turn on a show and just don't care what you're going to see and just want to laugh and have a good time, watch that. Because you're supposed to laugh. That's why he's a genius.
Right. So. And that was that was my understanding too. And I don't know if I don't know if it was an interview. I want to say it was maybe, I think Matt might have been on the Jericho podcast and it had just said that.
And he was in gimmick. He was in right. Cool gimmick.
And Vince just didn't understand that it was supposed to be comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't supposed to be real. So, of course, 72-year-old Vince isn't going to understand, but whatever.
I mean, there's two interviews on Jericho's podcast. The one where he first did it in 2016, he's in full-blown Broken Matt Hardy talking to Jericho, and it's an hour of just him just cutting a promo why he is deleted and all those things. Pretty sure he calls him Brother Irvine or whatever his real name is. So go out of your way to hear that if you want a good understanding of what we're talking about.
All right. And then I guess we will talk about WrestleMania, which I was chatting with another buddy of mine, and we were talking about like the WWE for being a TV company with this quarantine or limited, crowd participation or crowd people or whatever the right audience members, whatever the right term would be. You would think that a TV company would figure out to work a way around it. And the WWE has just struggled. Where AEW, to me, on Dynamite, has embraced the weirdness and the oddness of this whole situation. Made 2 weeks of entertaining TV over the last 2 weeks. While the WWE has been clip shows. And
dude, last week was one of AEW's best episodes, I think. To be completely honest with you. With no people, they blew it out of the park last week.
Right, and then you got, like I say, it was the debut of Brody Lee and the debut of Matt Hardy and just, good quality matches, and I appreciated all the wrestlers being at ringside. Just added to just the bizarreness of the whole thing. And, like I say, AEW embraced it and ran circles around a company that for 20 years hasn't had to be innovative. They've just been able to do their own thing. And now they don't know how to adapt. And it's become abundantly clear. But this week on Raw, there are at least some matches that were live. There was obviously a lot of tape stuff, which, given the circumstances, I can somewhat understand. But if AEW can get 20 people to show up, WWE can get 20 people to show up. And it's not like most of them don't live in Florida anyway. So how can you not get them to show up for your Raw?
My thing is, too, like with Raw especially, such a long program. Why, if you don't want to get your Mania talent sick or whatever, like I get that. Give the guys who are sitting in catering a shot to go out and have a match, right? Like get some TV time. Like a Hawkins and a Wright, EC3, Bobby Roode, just these guys, just give them a match, right? Just give them something to do. Kill 10 men at a time. What the hell's wrong with that? I get you don't want to ruin any of your WrestleMania matches. That's completely fine. But give somebody a chance instead of having somebody turn a channel on you.
Yep, so as of now, there are 13 matches. I don't think we're going to get any more due to the pandemic. And the good part is if the reports and rumors are to be believed, they've already taped all or most of this. So if anything does get worse and Florida goes on a quarantine like we are here in Ohio and other cities and states are, they'll have at least most of the show in the can. As I've talked about before, trying to predict this just makes no sense. So Lana and I will just give our thoughts and see what we see here.
I'm just going to go love it, hate it, just to make this easy.
You know what? I think that's actually a fair idea. I'm going to go off Wikipedia here, and we're going to go from the bottom to the top. Edge versus Randy Orton in a last man standing match.
Love it.
Yep, I'm there for that one. I appreciate it.
I'm so pumped for Edge. You know, I'm a big Edge mark. Like, that's a good match for him to come back to because there's not going to be a lot of, like, wrestling. You know, they're just going to brawl. And I don't want to pick a winner because, like you said, it's kind of dumb. But I'm leaning towards Edge on that one.
Yep. Oh, Edge has to win. I mean, I don't think there's any.
Does he take time off after this, you think? Or does he go to something else? Is he back full-time?
Allegedly back full-time, yes, but I'm not sure who's going to be around after these next few weeks. So is he sticking around? Sure. You know, the pandemic may have a say in how long or next time we see him.
WWE should just take a break after Mania, I think. But I don't know if their TV deals let them do that.
Well, and more importantly, I don't think Vince lets them do that. I don't think
– right.
He's not going to stop until he's forced to stop. And I understand, actually, Florida may have allegedly shut down the Performance Center. So that'll be quite entertaining to see here. And the hardest passes of hardest passes, Elias versus King Corbin.
Oh, God.
All right. Next, we have Aleister Black and Bobby Lashley. That's another pass.
I texted you about this one already. I went on a little vent about this one. Like, why? That's all I'm going to say. I hate it so much.
Street Profits defending the Raw Tag Team Championships against Andrade and Angel Garza.
Love it.
Yep, I think that one should actually be fun. And as of now,
the should be a show stealer.
Could be, yes. Just depending on what they let them do, and what night it's on and where it's placed. I mean, obviously a lot of factors going on in that. The Miz and Morrison defend against to be determined here, according to Wikipedia. So I don't know if that's changed. If it's going to be a three-way, four-way, because I know there was a tag team match that had Heavy Machinery and I forget who the opponents were that ended up just in a schmoz, but. I don't care whoever it is. It doesn't matter unless it's the New Day, but I don't care.
Yeah, pass.
Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins.
Indifferent about that one.
I'm looking forward to that one. I think that one could be fun. So I'm there for that one. The Undertaker versus AJ Styles.
I love it. Because AJ's going to bump for 5 minutes, so whatever. I like it.
All right. Adam's favorite, Bayley, defends the WWE Women's SmackDown Championship against Lacey Evans, Naomi, Sasha Banks, and Tamina.
No comment.
Man, I really want to like this match, but there's just not enough there for me. And what's there is just actually too much. I don't even want to think about this one. I'm going to say love it on a very low level, probably out of my love list. It's the lowest of the love list, but next we have John Cena versus The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
Oh man, I'm okay with it. I just say okay.
I'm going to say, we've talked about before, me loving Bray Wyatt, but this is a pass. He's just not had good matches as The Fiend, and John Cena hasn't wrestled in a year, longer than a year.
God, has it been that long?
Yeah, I don't think. I think 2019 was the first year he didn't have a match during the entire calendar year.
Crazy.
For the Raw Women's Championship, Becky Lynch defends against Shayna Baszler.
Like it.
Like it a lot. Does Shayna end Becky's run?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you disagree? I mean, I think it should be a slaughter, in my opinion. Becky's more popular as the fighting, like, I want as the challenger, man. I'm telling you. Shayna should just go in there and destroy her.
I don't know. I don't think I'm all on that.
How is she going to make her believable that Shayna could be champ? Oh, because she was in the NXT champ for so long? Oh, boy. No, she needs to go in there and choke her out. I love Becky. You know I do. But if you want to push a new heel champion for Becky to chase, you got to do it that way.
Alrighty. And then the match that I know Adam is looking forward to the most.
Oh, God.
Goldberg versus Roman Reigns.
Oh, my God.
Which is allegedly the main event of night two.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, where do I start? How many spears are we going to see in this match between the two of them? Under, over, five.
That's a good number, dude. That's a real good number. God, I wish you'd have said 4.5, because then I'd say over. Because five is in my head. Like, two by Goldberg, three by Reigns just feels right, man. That's...
All right, I'm going to bet you, I'm a betting man here, okay? Mm-hmm. I will bet you one Coke Zero Vanilla, whatever the hell you drink. What do you drink?
You're correct. Vanilla Zero.
I will bet you one of fresh, cold one of those that Goldberg cannot get him up for a jackhammer. Is that a fair bet?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know,
yeah,
right,
it's a fair bet,
you know,
but yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Gas. Like, there's no way I'm going to go against you. Like,
yeah,
even if he does get him up, it's going to be a weak ass looking one, like it was with Bray Wyatt.
Because Roman's got to weigh more than Bray in muscle mass, right? You would think on paper,
right? And I believe he looks to be a little taller as well,
and he wears that baggy clothing to make it even heavier. So I'm just saying it's going to be night two main event. You know Roman's going to win. Roman's going to close out another Mania, for God's sakes. What is that? 4 out of 6 he's closed out? 5 out of 7? Something ridiculous.
Yeah, a ridiculous amount for a guy who's still not over. But...
Mm-hmm.
But the only saving grace for Vince is he's not going to get booed out of the building.
Right. How many people cancel their subscriptions so after that happens? I may be one of them.
Man, dude, I don't know. Like, I can't care enough to be bothered that Roman's going to win. And it doesn't bother me, but it doesn't excite me. It's just pure apathy.
It's WWE, man. I don't care. Like, it's whatever. It's whatever.
Match that's firmly in my love statement. Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre.
Love it.
And how many F5s does Drew kick out of?
3.
That's a bold statement there, sir.
How many claymores does Brock Lesnar take?
2.
Does he pin him with the Future Shock DDT is the question.
Oh, no. It'll be the claymore. And I think it'll take 2. And I think Drew walks out as the new WWE champion.
Which he should. How long is this match? 6-7 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, 10 minutes at most.
With entrances.
Well, see, that's the best part about this is that entrance ramp is going to take you 10 seconds to get down, if that.
Yeah.
So.
I am loving Paul Heyman's promos for this, though. It's pretty good. I will give him that. That's the only part of Raw I watched last week was his promo.
Because Paul is just good, period.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the match, that's the rumored main event for night one, Rhea Ripley defending the NXT Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair.
See, like, I'm okay with that main eventing. I'm fine with that. What I'm not going to like is if they let Charlotte win.
See, and I'm in that same boat. This one will truly be like, I will love this if Rhea retains, because there's no point in having Charlotte be the NXT champion when she's on Raw. And since it's the NXT brand, I think Triple H will have a say in who goes over as instead of Vince. And I just don't see Triple H having one of his kids lay down for Charlotte. So I'm going with Rhea retaining. And
see, that's gonna upset me if she wins. I will tell you, like, if Charlotte wins, I might not even watch night two. Like, I'm serious.
Well, like, legitimately, depending on what matches are on night one and night two, you're right. Like, I just may not even bother watching night two.
Like, if Taker and AJ are on night one, awesome. If the Andrade is on night one, like, cool, I'm sold. Like, everything else, whatever.
Like all
Rollins, Owen should excite me, but I'm not excited about it for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why.
I think that is, this is one of those ones to me that is, it's being affected by the fact that they can't be in front of a live crowd. Think if they were in front of a live crowd, we'll get that reaction and see Seth get some honest to goodness heel heat instead of just an empty building. I think this is one of those ones that's absolutely being affected by it. I think AJ Taker has actually benefited from not having to be in front of a live crowd, because you just know the assholes would be chanting during the Undertaker's promo last week. And like, you could almost see Seth pausing and waiting for the what chant this week when he was talking during his interaction with KO. So I don't know. My big interest in most of these is just to see how the wrestlers themselves deal with nobody in the crowd and notoriously loud.
How silly is Taker's entrance with no people there?
we're about to find out.
Yeah. It's
one of the things I'm looking forward to is Cena is notorious for calling the spots in the ring quite loudly. And with nobody in the building to hear it, I can't wait to see how the mics pick that up. So they better record the shit out of that match and figure out how to tone down the mic so you don't hear Cena calling the spots.
God, just, yeah.
So, I kid you not, and I know they're not there. I know they're probably going to space them out. But if the Edge, Orton, Lesnar, McIntyre, and Ripley Flair matches were all on night one, there's a real strong possibility I don't watch night two.
Right. I don't think they're going to do that, but I agree.
I mean, because you would put Becky and Shayna on night two to go with Goldberg Roman. So you have your two big women's championship matches, you know, closing out both shows. I'm just curious to see where they do Edge and Orton. Just, if that's night one, you're right. I may not even watch night two. the huge perk about these being over two nights is the show shouldn't be that long. I mean, seven matches each show should be perfect. 2.5 hours, in and out, done. But it's WWE, so it'll be three. But that's perfect. Done and dusted.
We'll see. If it's 5 hours each night, I'm going to... Oh, God.
Well, hey, it's not like we have anything else to watch about, so we can complain about it next week on our podcast all we want, because there's literally nothing else to watch.
Oh, you know we're going to. Like, it's not... Dude, let's be real. It's not going to be good. Can we just say that now? It's not going to be good.
Yeah, the hype level is definitely at a very low three for me, if that even. Yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
Enough WrestleMania talk, damn it.
Well, we're still going to talk WrestleMania here because, Adam, you had an idea, and I'm gonna let you verbalize it, and then we're gonna talk over WrestleMania 30.
Yes, I pitched to HD this idea. We have both watched a lot of wrestling, and probably more than we're proud of. There have been some really bad, bad, bad wrestling pay-per-views. God knows WCW had it. God knows Impact had it. But WWE lately, too, like maybe the last decade, has had some really bad pay-per-views. So I thought it'd be fun to pick one and try to rebook it to make it better in our eyes. The catch is you have to use the wrestlers that were on the card. You with me, HD?
Yeah, I'm with you, because I think starting out with 30 was actually a good choice.
And it's not terrible. It's not a terrible show. It's not
right,
horrible.
I think there's
not
only
great.
Right, there's only two or three things I think I'd actually change. So
I was going to say WrestleMania 12, but that would make me lose sleep at night, because that one was terrible from start to finish. Maybe next week.
All right, so it's your idea. I will let you start off, sir.
Yes. To open the show, WrestleMania 30, it was Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. That was the hottest feud going at the time. I would not change that match. I am leaving that match the exact same. What do you say, HD?
I say Triple H is not wrestling Daniel Bryan on my version of WrestleMania 30.
Really? Is Daniel Bryan still having two matches on your card?
Nope.
Oh, what's your opener then?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it would be the opener, but my match for Triple H would be against an angry Batista. Yes, Batista won the Royal Rumble, but was so pissed that he got booed out of the match and that it ended up being the Authority's fault that Batista got booed out of the building. So you actually have a face Batista going up against Triple H, the Authority. And I know that match was done at Mania previously, but so what? You know, different day and age, you know. So to me, an angry Batista is wrestling against the Authority, and it's face Batista, and the fans are actually behind him like it was supposed to be.
I don't hate that. That's not bad. Damn, that's good, actually. I like that. Props to you, sir. All right. Second on the card, on the original card, it was The Shield versus God, versus Kane and the New Age Outlaws. AC, you know the time of that match?
And it was quick.
It was 1:30.
Sweet.
For my WrestleMania, I said, fuck the New Age Outlaws and Kane. They got thrown into my Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and I replaced them. On my card, it's The Shield versus the Wyatts. Six-man elimination, no-holds-barred matchup. Because the month before, they had a match at Elimination Chamber, and it was one of the matches of the year, and they're going to continue the feud into WrestleMania.
Okay, who goes over, though?
Oh, man. Oh, The Shield, 100%. So I'm pretty sure the Wyatts won the first match, if I'm not mistaken. Can't remember.
I don't know. I don't have that right in front of me at the moment. So this is the one that was actually the hardest for me to try to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
The Shield obviously being super hot then.
So and, was the Wyatt. So was Bray
right. Wyatt. Right. And I'm trying to in my brain work this out, and I couldn't.
Did you leave it?
Yes, it was only because I couldn't work it out. Because I'm going to skip ahead here. I'm going to stick with John Cena versus Bray Wyatt, but I'm just reversing the result. Bray Wyatt is going to be made a star that night by soundly, no shenanigans from Rowan or Harper, soundly, cleanly, middle of the ring, pins John Cena. Bray Wyatt is a mega, mega star from that day forward. He's still popular as all get out now, and and quite enjoyable, but you would have had yourself a bona fide main event star, a megastar, had Bray Wyatt defeated John Cena that night. So yeah, then I was trying to toy with, okay, you can have Rowan and Harper in that match against the Shield, but it just doesn't make sense without Bray in there. And so I was struggling and struggling, like, okay, do we just do a tag team match then? It's just, does the architect sit on the sidelines coaching up his boys as it's Reigns and Ambrose versus Harper and Rowan? And I think that's what in my head I settled on, is that that's what it is. It's Ambrose and Reigns with Rollins at ringside taking on Rowan and Harper with Bray at ringside as well. I get that, the New Age Outlaws are Triple H's boy, but there was no need for them to be on this show. Literally served no purpose other than those two getting a payday.
Yeah. Next on the card, on the Real Mania card, Cesaro wins Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I did not change that. Cesaro deserved that. It was a great finish to the match. He pretty much bench pressed the Big Show over the top rope. Much deserved. That was the last time Cesaro really got a push until he was with the Bar. So, yeah, yep. I'm not changing that.
Yeah, that was just it. Battle Royals are always kind of clunky, when it's not a Royal Rumble. But
that finish.
Yeah, the finish was absolute. I mean, like, just watch the crowd reaction. It was my reaction sitting at home on my couch. I actually, like, stood upright out of my couch, like, holy shit.
Right.
So that finish alone is absolutely worth keeping that Rumble, or not that Rumble, but that Battle Royal the exact same. Obviously post-booking, you talked about Cesaro wasn't really booked well post. But yeah, I mean, the match, the Battle Royal itself, and as Adam said, that finish was amazing and so well done, and just shows you that Cesaro, pound for pound, is probably the strongest cat in that company. Even going up against Braun Strowman, probably still the strongest cat in the company.
The guy did the big swing to the Great Khali. Like, fuck, man.
Right.
He's up there at Mark Henry. I guarantee he is.
Like I said, pound for pound. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next on the Real Mania card, it was Cena versus Wyatt. You said your statement on that. I did John Cena versus Batista, loser leaves WWE. And with that finish, I had John Cena going over. I can't believe I'm saying that in paper. This run, Batista didn't. He only did a couple months worth of work. He could have left here and been, and the Authority could have brought him back for the Shield feud after that. But that's how I would have booked it. Match wouldn't have been great, but for a filler, sure, why not?
Yep, I already told you my thing. Bray Wyatt, same match. Just Bray Wyatt goes over clean as a whistle.
Number six. AJ Lee retains her title in the Vicky Guerrero Invitational. I'm a huge AJ Lee mark. I think she's one of the best women's wrestlers out there at her, especially at that time. I'm not changing that. She deserves it. And
yeah, so let's just
women wrestlers like of all time are not in WWE.
So let's go over the roll call of who AJ Lee, defeated in this match. Oksana. Alicia Fox.
Who's not the company anymore, better yet.
Okay, so hold on. Brie Bella, Cameron, Emma, Eva Marie, Layla, Naomi, Natalia, Nikki Bella, Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, and Tamina Snuka.
So this match is called the Best of Your Future Endeavors match, is what this is.
Yeah, so what do we have?
Natalia. Who's in the company? And Tamina, who's in the company still?
Well, it's Naomi, it's Natalia, and it's Tamina.
Oh, Naomi. Oh, yeah, right. It's Naomi. Okay. Yeah.
But, hey, not for nothing, shout out to Layla goodness. That's a bottle of fine wine, sir. It got better with age. Good gravy.
Were you a Lay Cool fan then?
Oh goodness, yes, sir. Absolutely.
She's fine wine. Wow. Yeah, anywho, dude. Would you have kept AJ Lee winning that match?
Yeah, there's nothing you said that I don't agree with, especially at the time when it was quote unquote divas. And AJ Lee just head and shoulders above everybody else in the company. Yeah, man,
dude, like I said, my two all-time favorite WWE women's wrestlers are AJ Lee and Paige, and both retired before they were 30. You know, like AJ Lee went to do her own thing with her book and her company. Like, she's doing great. Paige got hurt, but dude, during their time, they were handed chicken shit turning the chicken salad. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They made a lot of bad wrestlers look good, man. Both of them did. Especially. So. She did a crazy chick gimmick for a while. I was into it. Alright. Next one on the card.
Well, real WrestleMania. Hold on. Sorry. What happened the next night, sir?
Paige debuted.
Correct.
Yes. And it was a dream match of mine.
All right. And then let's get to the main.
You could say fine wide first, but hey, okay.
There's nothing I can add. You're speaking the truth there, brother. I got no problem with it.
This one is one I texted you about earlier that I was struggling with. Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. I kept the match. I have Lesnar beating Taker inside Hell in a Cell. How I book it is I just kind of needed to put him on the card somewhere. So I had Kane interfere to solidify the heel Kane, corporate Kane, carrying on his brother, because that's what the authority told him to do, is get rid of your brother. And that's how Lesnar beats him. That way, you can argue all his streak was kind of robbed from him. It's a better story that way. That's how I would have booked it.
Me, I don't change a thing. Lesnar wins, The Undertaker loses, but for me, The Undertaker is never on another show again. That was it. That was the way to go.
You think
out.
He should have retired back then? What was that?
Now? He's 50. Right, he was 50. Like, I understand that he's still insanely popular, but now
match was bad. That match was real bad.
people are laughing at The Undertaker now. Like, and it's not, you're laughing with him, you're laughing at him, and it's just painful to see.
Is this the last one for him, you think?
Is
he going to keep taking that paycheck?
I've said it after this match that we're talking about in particular, and I've said it every time since then, and he keeps coming back, but I don't see how it's not the last of The Undertaker.
He's not going to retire in an empty arena, though. It's got to be with people, is my thing. So he should have done it with Roman. He did the coat, the gloves. He did it all. That's what should have happened. But whatever. And the main event of the evening, I had Batista out of this match. You did, too. I have Daniel Bryan going over clean to Randy Orton. The Yes Movement is on fire.
Same thing.
It's simple.
One-on-one match. Randy Orton gets pinned clean as a whistle or submits to the Yes Lock, whatever. We've talked about him in tweets before and, you know, his negative appearance here and there. But MVP during the whole Yes Movement, Daniel Bryan run, he and Conan were huge. Just talking about how much shit are you going to make Daniel Bryan go through? And it was just like week after week of him just getting fucked over and fucked over.
It was Becky last year, man. It's the same shit.
But right, they were trying to redo the whole Daniel Bryan thing with Becky, and it made zero fucking sense.
Yeah.
And this one is just, they had to do it. Like, and, you know, Triple H is fond of saying, you know, was, hey, it's a slow burn, brother. You know, just keep watching. You'll see.
Not when people are shitting all over it.
Right. And and when CM Punk released the original plan for WrestleMania 30, and it was Daniel Bryan not in a match. I think he was wrestling Sheamus again. You know, to get revenge for
supposed to lose the Sheamus, I believe.
I think he was going to get his revenge for the 17-second loss. But again,
Was that the one where Punk was supposed to wrestle Triple H?
Yes.
And he walked out. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. So
that's amazing to me.
Right. So for all the, you know, WWE excels at revisionist history, that is the ultimate revisionist history of, it was the plan all along, brother. Don't worry. No, it fucking wasn't.
CM Punk clearly read the whole card to us on Colt Cabana's podcast.
And then he posted a picture of it on Instagram one day, and I just laughed my ass off.
What a dick. That's so funny. Like, that's awesome. Like, what a fuck you to the company. Is, hey, here's this shitty WrestleMania card.
That you said was not the show, but everyone else knew it was.
Right.
All right. Why don't we wrap it up there, Adam? I think that's a good point. We'll get back to our What About This Wrestler next week. I played the interview that Adam did with Austin Mannix before this, so I think that's going to give us a long, long show. And again, as always, if people listen to the end, more power to you. And
Thank you to Mannix, by the way. Awesome dude.
We appreciate you.
One of the best workers in Dayton. So props to him for giving us time.
Yeah, well, one of the best workers in the Midwest. Let's put it that way, man. Even though I hate saying we're in the Midwest because we're in the Eastern time zone, so it makes no sense, but whatever.
God, that bugs you so much.
It does, dude. It irrationally bugs me to
know. Oh, my God. All right, this is where you hit the end button, guys.
Like, pretty close, yes. Just disconnect. Stop listening to the podcast. But again, if you're still listening, thank you. Appreciate it. Give us a follow on Twitter at 3MB Podcast. Give Adam a follow on Twitter at AdamHowell3MB. Follow us on Instagram at 3MBPod. And as always, trust in Phil.